This here is Infield Chatter. This week, it is Friday night, June 26th. You're hearing this on June 28th. Because, I don't know. Same three people this time. And we're going to start off with the biggest Diamondback story of the week. You probably heard about it. It involves a pitcher in the minors getting traded in the last week to a team wearing red. And, of course, there was a lot of uproar, riot squads had to be called in, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, you know, I am talking about minor league pitcher Patrick Schuster being traded from the Diamondback system to the Reds. Instead of being a Mobile Bay Bear, he is now a Pensacola Blue Wahoo, which is a actual thing.
I can understand why people are in an uproar over that. That seems like a dreadful step down in mascots.
The real talk, though, the Southern League kind of has the most eccentric mascots out there, because there's that, there's the, of course, the Montgomery Biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
That was Devin Jessup, you just heard. We've also got the El Soconator with us.
The El Soconator?
It's a thing. I'm trying. It can be a thing.
I accept your gift.
I'm actually going to say the Pensacola Blue Wahoos in general are a step down mascot-wise because they used to be the Carolina Mudcats, which is a much better name.
Oh, yeah. Those guys, that franchise still exists, but they decided to go down to single A for some reason.
Actually the same franchise, though.
You know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
It's same franchise in the sense that, like, the new Cleveland Browns are the same as the pre-1996 Cleveland Browns.
So they suspended the records and then just transferred them over even though they play at different levels?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, like, the same team, logo, whatever, they just became a single-A team and played in the Carolina League.
It's like if somebody just randomly, like, moved a minor league team to Tucson for a little while and they're like, oh, yeah, they're still the Toros.
Why not?
Yeah.
And then change them to the Padres or whatever. I don't even know. Who cares?
And now they're the Chihuahuas.
Yeah, that is a step down mascot wise.
Yeah.
From anything, from even Blue Wahoos.
I mean, at least they're fish. They get to swim.
Step down even from the Padres.
Yeah. Speaking of the Padres, we're not going to get into play by play, but context wise, it is 2-2 Diamondbacks and Padres in the bottom of the third. Some guy for the Padres, who I don't think I've ever heard of before, is up right now with runners on first and third. But again, not doing play-by-play. Now, we are going to dive right into the listener questions. And I found out that there are more listeners than I thought there were, because friends of mine who are not baseball people actually listen to this podcast. They told me they did.
So sorry.
Yeah, I apologize wholeheartedly to them.
No, I think it's great because, you know, we have broad appeal.
That's one way of putting it, I suppose.
Okay, so, like I said, we're going to just dive right into the questions. This comes from Lucky CC and Friday's Game Day thread. I told you guys to think about this for a second, because I did, because I was setting stuff up. The question is, if the Diamondbacks were a heist movie, What character trope would each player be? Now, obviously, probably not going to go down the whole 25-man roster. Just hit the, like, important, you know, tropes, as it were. What do you guys have for that?
Okay, well, first off, I want to say this is possibly the best question we've ever been asked.
It is.
Yeah.
More things like this.
Yeah. I mean, good work. Good work, Char, if you figure out how to listen to podcasts, because apparently she doesn't.
Oh.
But that's okay. I'm not taking it personally. One of the, like, I mean, I'm not going to go through the entire list because obviously that would take up more time than any rational person would spend on this. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, just some high points. I mean, first off, I think not even a player on the field, but I really like the idea of Tony La Russa being brought in as, like, the grizzled mastermind from, he's got several successful heists on his resume and kind of retirement to lead this caper.
Mm-hmm. I thought they pulled me right back in guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Last heist.
Yeah. It's like he's the one who like everybody's like, well, who do they get to lead this thing? I don't know. Who's Oh my god, can that really be him? He's like the legend among thieves. Also, I feel like right underneath him would be Goldie, obviously. But I mean, he's almost the straight man in the entire heist. He's not.
Isn't that a shame? What?
Well, he's not the worst straight man ever. I should never stand in front of those seals.
He interviewed for this job. But like he's the guy who's almost he's like the moral voice of this team, making sure they don't go too far. Mm-hmm. I feel like you've got Yasmani Tomas is like the muscle. He's the guy who nobody quite understands, but he's got a really good reputation.
He's like the silent guy.
Yeah, he's like the
silent in the background.
Exactly.
I feel like the Mr. Pink of the group. You know, he's a little frazzled, anywhere from frazzled to just full on insane, and is just about to lose his mind, but also kind of screws everything up. Mm-hmm. It's Addison Reed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel like he's the guy who keeps trying to step up for really important jobs and just blows it entirely.
He's a guy that like they hired as like if they were doing like a train heist or a train robbery, and they're the guy who said, "Oh, you know how to drive a train?" He's like, "Yeah, I can drive a train," but they hijack the train. It's like, "Ooh, I don't know how to do this. What does this button do?"
He seems like he would be the kind of guy who would be really mad if he was given the nickname Mr. Pink. Like when they're handing out their heist names.
Yeah.
Like, we all drew them out of a hat. You saw it as much as everybody else did. Stop complaining. Yeah. I feel like you want to go with somebody somebody like Chris Owens or Nick Ahmed, who's like the pickpocket. He's like the details guy.
Yeah.
Close-up work.
Anymore, you need a computer specialist, though, too.
That's true. I don't know what anybody's computer skills are like on the team, though.
Yeah, that's the downside. Baseball players are not exactly renowned for being nerds or intelligent. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the closest thing we have would be like if we want to go back to like Barry Enright or Brandon McCarthy, who are active on Twitter. I don't know if that's the closest thing we've got.
No, Huddy's pretty active on Twitter.
Huddy, yeah.
Oh, that's true. He could be the guy who's like, he was injured in a previous heist, and he's trying to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Looking for a little redemption.
Exactly.
Hacking into the mainframe.
I think we've got this worked out.
Yeah. I think we do. We got unlock.
Oh, yeah.
Call us, Hollywood.
I think... Just thinking, going throughout the rest of the roster, Jeremy Hellickson would be the getaway driver, except like he would obey the speed limit.
What are you doing?
Like annoyingly,
I have to signal.
Like annoyingly, I have to check my blind spots at least twice. Blind spot mirror, blind spot.
Do you know how much it costs to insure a getaway vehicle?
Chad Pennington would be like the guy who gets killed first, and everyone kind of forgets that he's there until it happens. Like, oh crap, Chad got shot.
Oh wow, Chad was here. Oh wow, okay. Aaron Hill would be like kind of the down on his luck thief who. He used to be pretty good, but now he's just he thinks he still is, and he just can't live up to his reputation anymore.
Oh, so Ray Liotta.
Are you suggesting that Aaron Hill is going to make like really awful tequila ads?
Right, where he's, like, trying to,
Ray Liotta in those commercials, he's basically a tequila bully.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure which or worse, Ray Liotta the tequila bully, or, oh man, now I've just completely blanked on the guy's name because I did
all the, Michael Imperioli ones, or...
Oh, no, 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 I was making a jump to other, actors doing ads trying to convince us things.
That dude
trying to convince
24.
Us that Lincolns are cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, those are weird.
Sometimes I like to just drive. Don't keep going. Was that a deer?
I didn't drive because anybody paid me. I didn't do it when it was cool. It's still not cool, Matthew McConaughey. I'm sorry.
It's a car. It gets you places.
It had air conditioning. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can probably afford air conditioning.
Yeah.
He's getting one of them fancy cars.
He probably has a GPS, too, which is nice.
I didn't drive because I had GPS. I just drove because I was lost.
And I'm too embarrassed to ask for directions.
Where am I? And why is there a dead deer in my backseat?
Actually, sometimes he has tried to stop for directions, and he's like, well, now, let me just see. Where is this? If this is the map... No, never mind. That's not even a good Matthew McConaughey impression. I apologize.
It's okay. We forgive you.
All right. Excuse me. I apparently have the respiratory system of Mark Trumbo's batting average right now. Actually, that's actually not technically true, because if that were the case, I'd be dead. But
that's true. I mean, if your lungs were only successfully taking breaths about 1 out of 5 times, that would be very concerning.
Yeah, but yeah, the Diamondbacks heist movie. That is definitely the kind of question we are looking for at this thing. So thank you. Char/LuckyCC. Let's go to some other questions.
Questions.
Yeah. I'm just going to say right now that I'm not particularly enthused about the discussion of the whole Mount 500 thing, because it just, I don't know. It
amuses me on a meta level.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it's really, it's one of those things that it's like, what are we going to say?
Yeah, it's like
yes, no,
It's like it's a kind of weird statistical anomaly kind of thing that
right.
happens, because you have a team that's about, you know, 500 quality, that's sort of playing 500 ball right now, and they're just sort of from, you know, previous months settling in at just under 500.
I mean, I guess what this really means is that it's like, I mean, the team is average plus or minus a margin of error.
Yeah.
It's not like having 82 wins at the end of the season is really that much better than 80, but it kind of seems like it is, because...
Feels better.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, hey, we were slightly more successful than we were futile. But
yeah, no, I mean, it's more amusing to me just on the level of, A, how close they keep getting and then sliding back down, and then how bent out of shape people are getting about it when people mention it,
yeah.
as if it has some sort of...
As if it's like an actual... But, I remember that being a thing, had to be like 2012 or so, like with... I think it was like a Sutton Grace thing that they would talk about. Sorry, watching the game right now. Tomas just made a nice catch. So, but
way to go, muscle.
Yeah.
Strong and sound.
But I could be remembering this wrong, but it feels like that was a sort of term that like Sutton and Grace coined, and then they both got fired for different reasons later. So there's your moral, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about things or else you'll get fired.
Oh, something I saw on Twitter earlier, because I'm just scrolling through the game day thread for stuff. Apparently Arby's, who is a kicking dog of this podcast, they tweeted out, in honor of Max Scherzer, former Diamondback, current Washington Nationals, 100th win, we are going to call our largest roast beef sandwich the Max. Now, is this actually an honor, or is it like getting an award from, I don't know, insert terrible, terrible political cause here?
It's not an honor, it's a curse. Yeah. He is now, part of his soul is now shackled to that sandwich.
And he will be forced. Basically, wait a minute. So are you saying that then if I go into Arby's, I order that sandwich and eat it, as part of his soul is shackled to it, will I then be able to gain some of his powers?
You won't gain any of his powers, but slowly more and more of his soul will be dissipated across the world, and he'll be forced to wander it till the end of time, attempting to find peace.
So Arby's is Max Scherzer's Horcrux.
Sure, I don't know how this works, so
I'm kind of liking the idea of like this post-apocalyptic world where Max Scherzer it starts in on some like ramshackle town. Obviously, they're getting attacked by somebody. There's always bandits in a post-apocalyptic world. I think it's just
that's just human evolution.
Yeah, that it's gonna happen. But as they're like, oh no, we're doomed, we don't have a chance, all of a sudden, bam, these bandits start getting hit in the head with baseballs. And we find out that Max Scherzer is immortal and has taken up his, like, trek around the world in search of justice and release from his Arby's curse.
Yes. And what brought upon the apocalypse? Arby's.
I'm pretty sure. Wait, hold on. My phone's okay. Yeah, CW is actually calling me right now about making this into a show.
Nice.
So
you're gonna let us in on this, right?
Oh well, yeah, of course. Come on.
Okay, good.
Because if you don't, we're gonna find you and we're gonna beat you with a shovel.
Oh, Charlie!
One shovel between the two of us. Because come on.
Yeah, what do you think we are, made of shovels?
Yeah.
Charlie. Don't be silly. When has anyone ever found somebody who is on the CW?
It is the bastard child of the two most marginal networks of the early 2000s. So,
what was the other one? It was WB and...
UPN.
UPN.
No, CW is what they created.
Yeah.
UPN?
Yeah. UPN and WB.
UPN?
UPN.
Oh. I don't know.
Yep.
It was the more urban of the...
Urban.
Well, yeah, UPN would show quote-unquote urban shows, and then random Star Trek series.
Yeah.
Because they had Voyager and Enterprise. Which...
I mean, they did Buffy for a while, they had Veronica Mars.
That's true, yeah.
They had white people. Mm. Every once in a while.
Man, when are white people going to get a break on TV?
I know, seriously, man. Like there's not enough shows about us.
Mm-hmm. Our wacky adventures.
Wacky adventures.
Okay, so the only way though that I see CW actually taking this show is okay. So it's apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic world, and Max Scherzer is immortal, and he's throwing baseballs at people to get justice and to gain back his soul. But when he hits people with baseballs, then he gets, like, psychic energy from them, which he uses to solve crimes.
And then he's also being hunted by, like, sports broadcasters.
There you go.
Who are somehow also immortal because they signed – it was part of their contract to work for ESPN. Took their soul as well. And they are, like, showing up constantly to complain about Max Scherzer pitching inside.
I was going to say, cast it with, like, the three worst, like, local color announcers you could think of. So, like,
Vin Scully.
Hot take.
I was going to say the Rockies broadcasting team.
Oh, they're bad.
I was going to say, get John Kruk and Kurt Schilling from Sunday Night Baseball because
they're not local. They're
also I don't like being reminded that John Kruk exists.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, you're right.
Or like
Hawk Harrelson.
Hawk Harrelson.
Whoa, no.
Tim
Hawk
Carver.
Harrelson is a gift.
I'm just saying. I did a search for. I did a search for worst local baseball announcers, came in. He was rated lowest, I believe.
Well, he does. His catchphrases can be transferred to, you know, he shoots some innocent person execution style. He gone. Or even you could put it on the board. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like that would be easily transferable to the X Games.
Yes.
Yeah.
How Hawk Harrelson called the X Games would be so amazing. Anyway, so yeah, call a CW, or we'll go to, or you know, you can always go to somewhere like USA or TBS or PNT or something because they want stuff.
They have pretty low standards.
Yeah.
Yahoo Screen, give us a call.
Hey, marginally popular YouTube channel.
What up?
Okay, going to more questions. This is from Guru B. Why does a Coors Field have a roof? I'm going to say hashtag lizard truth.
I was going to say because they actually have nice summer weather.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, this is a sort of weather-wise for Denver, just sort of, again, like the 500 thing. It's like sort of a weird statistical blip or anomaly that it just so happens to rain whenever the Diamondbacks come into town. Which, and, you know, it was built in 1995, and, you know, when the weather's nice, it's actually generally a nice place to be, because I've been to Coors Field a few times.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, also, you have to take into consideration it would have dramatically raised the cost.
Yeah.
And, yes, there had been a retractable roof before that point in Toronto, but...
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily considered that successful as a retractable roof. They also used artificial turf. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a truly successful retractable roof until Chase Field was built.
Yeah.
Or ballpark at the time. And it didn't open until 98, which means that the design phase of Coors Field was probably in, you know...
Well, I'm guessing they...
92.
Yeah, I'm guessing they started designing it, yeah, like right around when the franchise was awarded or so.
Right.
Because they played their first two seasons at... Old Mile High Stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
So, from a practical standpoint, that's why. You probably didn't want a practical answer, so, sorry.
it's the lizard people. They need the
monster. Actually, I believe it's because Pope Dinger I is just such an abomination. He needs the open sky to just display his heresy and cruelness before the sky and God above.
I don't know if Dinger is a pope.
He's more of an anti-pope.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But like, if Dinger is a sort of religious figure, and I'm not saying that's a definitive thing. So you know, if you hold certain beliefs, I'm just saying if this is true, then this is true. And I'm saying the first thing isn't true. If Dinger is a pope of some kind, there is no God.
Yeah. I would say that if he is a religious figure, then he's the argument against religion.
Yeah.
I would say if Dinger is a religious figure, Dinger is an argument against just the universe in general.
Yeah.
He would be an argument for just a just cold, void, random universe that does not care if you live or die.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was about to say. It's just he proves that it is a purely random universe.
Dinger is entropy.
Yes, there is no point to anything ever.
We're getting deep on you here on infield chatter.
Dinger, nihilism, Arby's. It all makes sense.
Teach the controversy.
Teach the controversy. More questions. This is from Songbird. How bad is it? A sign is it that Archie Bradley is going to see Dr. James Andrews? So, for those of you who don't know, Dr. James Andrews is a fairly famous sports doctor based in Alabama, I want to say, who specializes in, like, shoulder and elbow kind of maladies. So, like, you see a lot of, like, starting pitchers go to him, or, like, quarterbacks with shoulder problems, and it's generally, like, can be, like, the kiss of death or something. So, and then I guess Archie Bradley was not feeling so well after his rehab start. So what I'm basically saying is that Archie Bradley is going to die in 7 days because he picked up the phone and watched that videotape.
He did.
Why? Like, I mean, I thought it was pretty obvious. I thought we all understood that you don't watch the videotape.
Yeah. He watched it, though. He watched it all the way through, and then he turned it back on. He put on some nice smelly candles, mm-hmm. got himself a nice Riesling, mm-hmm. and watched it again.
And then he posted a review on Rotten Tomatoes and was like going into detail about what he thought was the mm-hmm. the artistic vision and inspiration behind the video itself.
Yep. And then he filled out a full tag on both Tumblr and Archive of Our Own for fiction for it.
He then left a Yelp review of the place where he found the video.
And to be fair, when he's going to be murdered, he's going to, like, ask if he can have one last second so he can review the murderer on Angie's List.
What we're saying is...
Hold on, can I put this on Foursquare?
So what we're saying is Archie Bradley should be the tech guy in our aforementioned heist team, from what we're talking about.
No, he's our social media intern.
Yeah.
Stop checking in while we're robbing the bank. But guys, we need our presence out there.
I would give this bank 0 stars if I could.
He's working hard on a branded hashtag.
I understand the need for security in your bank. However, a vault such as this is not very conducive to thieves trying to break in the middle of the night.
What's the question again?
How bad is it that Archie Bradley... I had to stop and think.
How bad is
Bradley going back? Sound great.
To see Dr. James Andrews, who... Yeah.
I don't know. Does he get a lollipop at the end?
Hold on. I'm going to Google Dr. James Andrews lollipop. Inconclusive at best.
Inconclusive. Well,
I think that's going to make or break whether that's a successful doctor trip.
Yeah.
I guess we may just have to wait until Archie Bradley reviews Dr. Andrews on ZocDoc.
I feel he was very nice. He had very good bedside manner, but there was no lollipop, so I'm going to have to give him two stars.
But I mean, seriously, it doesn't sound good, but, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, we don't know really why he went. What if they're just friends?
Yeah. And maybe he faked the injury to get the trip expensed by the Diamondbacks. So really, this is just a case of, travel fraud.
It very well might be.
That's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. We're getting to the hard truths here on the podcast.
From the Googling of Dr. James Andrews, he is either wearing scrubs, posing for a picture, or he's on the sidelines looking dour at Robert Griffin III. So...
Wait, because if he's working with Robert Griffin III, that does not give me a lot of help. Or a lot of hope, I mean.
He's screwed.
Yep.
Unfortunate. I mean, it was bad enough to get drafted by the Redskins.
Yeah. Poor Archie Bradley.
Archie Bradley drafted people?
Yeah, he got drafted by the Redskins, right?
Yeah, well, he could.
Sure.
In an alternate universe, he could have, because, he was going to be on a football scholarship.
Yeah, and he blew out his knee against the
Seahawks. Yeah.
Just all was downhill from there, but hey, at least we have Archie, RG3. Reggie Griffin.
Wait, who's with our team now?
I've confused myself.
I was like, Archie Griffin? Is that? No, wait, that's Archie
Griffin the third.
Yeah.
Could be.
I was like, Archie Griffin, that's the name of another football player, right? Oh, yeah, he's the guy who won the Heisman twice. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Always with the Archie Griffin.
Always with the Archie Griffins.
Okay.
I don't know where that was going. Sorry.
He played for the Mighty Bengals of Cincinnati.
Mighty Bengals of Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I think there was one more question in the GDT that I guess we can answer if we want. I mean, we don't have
to. I don't think we're probably going to answer it, but you might as well ask it.
Well, yeah. Well, there will be an answer to it, whether or not that answer is relevant to the question. Sorry. This is from Rick Steveley, also known as D-Back Skids. Why are the Padres, the only baseball team sponsored by good, in italics, beer? And then the beer in question is Ballast Point, which, I don't know, I guess that's a good beer. It's no Goat Botherer IPA or anything. Or Monkey's Fist, or Lobster Fornication, or... These are all probably names of like, weird craft beer somewhere.
Yeah, and they all probably have too much hops in them.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't...
That's right. I'm throwing it down.
I can't do modern, like, IPAs, because it's just, like... Yeah, it's just... I don't like the taste. Because it's just too hoppy, and it's like...
Yeah,
I was gonna say I don't know if there's such a thing as a good beer. So,
I guess the question would be, what is the beer sponsor for every team? Does every team even have a beer sponsor? And then Jim should pay me to try all of them, and then I could definitively answer this.
Well, Anheuser-Busch has the general sponsorship over Major League Baseball,
right?
Let's see. If I were to look up, say, Diamondbacks beer sponsor.
I feel like they're Miller Lite. No, actually, no, not anymore, because it used to be Miller Lite out in right field beyond the bleachers, and then didn't they change that into Coors?
I think, maybe.
According to this, Budweiser. Is the special sponsor of the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw that, too.
So
wah, wah, wah.
Oh, I was gonna look the Mariners just to see if they had, and they've got Coors Light.
I think Budweiser is the official sponsor for the Cubs, if I can recall off the top of my head. Miller is the official beer sponsor of the... No, wait, that doesn't count. That's the Bears. I googled White Sox, Google. Come on.
No, same thing.
Miller. Yeah, Miller is still the sponsor for the White Sox. Dodgers.
Well, like, the Cardinals would obviously be Bush.
Miller has to be the official beer of the Brewers.
Yeah.
Coors, the Rockies, etc. I mean, those are ones that's like, it would be really awkward if it wasn't.
Actually, wait, hold on.
Okay.
Oh, never mind. This is from... Never mind. Reading a different post. My mistake. I misunderstood. But yeah.
But basically, I guess it's just... I'm not really a beer snob at all. Like, no. I mean, I'll generally go for something more than, like, your standard Budweiser stuff, but I'm not, again...
Right.
Like, the person who brings, like, a growler to the local brewery and, yeah.
I like trying different types of beers as long as they're not too hoppy.
Yeah.
And I certainly, you know, it's not my go-to beer. But if I went somewhere and someone offered me a Miller, I'm not going to turn my nose up.
Yeah, exactly, because that just makes you look like a douchebag.
Yeah. I mean, even Budweiser and Coors, which I actively really don't like, if someone offers me one and I'm somewhere, then I'll probably just take it to be polite.
Yeah.
The Giants apparently have... Anchor Brewing and Gordon Biersch.
Huh. Ink is good. And that makes sense.
So maybe they aren't the only team, or the Padres aren't the only teams sponsored by a good beer. Don't you ever think of that?
Yeah, I would qualify Anchor as a good beer.
Yeah, you ever think of that?
The
but
Royals.
I would also qualify the champagne of beers as being at least kind of decent.
Yeah.
So
the Royals apparently are also sponsored by Boulevard Brewing Company. So I don't know if they're any good or not, but it's a local place, which is good for them. I mean, what? really, when it comes down to it, Steve, the answer is because money talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those big mainstream corporate beer sponsors are the ones who have the money. They're the ones who are going to buy these sponsorships, and that's just how capitalism works.
Capitalism ho.
Yeah, and probably the few cases where it's a smaller local brewery that's winning the bid, they're probably not really outbidding a major brewery. It's probably more of a case of the team choosing to forego the hard economic benefit for the softer economic benefit of supporting a local business.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right.
Yep.
To me.
Those sound like phrases that are true and sometimes in economic papers.
Yes, indeed. Quite right. Uh-huh.
Ooh. I'm now actually stuck reading an article about companies that sponsor teams with beer, and like now it's talking about like older ones like Rheingold Beer sponsoring the Mets in, I guess, the 60s, and sponsoring Jackie Robinson's radio shows.
Hmm.
All sorts of them. So, it's interesting. It's been, you know, it's there's stuff out there. But
that's cool. I'm looking at pictures of Whataburger.
I was gonna ask why, then I remember who I was talking to.
That's right. Whataburger.
I went out of my way on the way to work last week to get Whataburger before that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'd have to go way out of my way to get Whataburger, so.
You would. Mm-hmm. You would.
You would.
You would?
You would?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, yeah.
Let's see what teams the Diamondbacks are playing next week and make fun of them. How about that?
Excellent.
I love making fun of things.
Next week there is a 3-game series against the Dodgers and then a 4-game series against the Rockies, all at Chase Field. So Here's the funny thing about the Dodgers. The Dodgers are currently in first place. They're on pace for like a low 90 win season. But I follow Eric Steven, the guy True Blue LA on Twitter, just because, you know, I like sort of seeing analysis and like, you know, sort of helps inform.
Yeah. You know, well, he's a good guy too.
He's a good guy too.
It
helps inform. You know, if I'm doing some actual analysis for once about that.
actual analysis.
But, man, oh, man, he gets a lot of, like, comments from Dodger fans who seem to think that they're the Phillies right now. That, like, somehow them being well in first place and, like, generally they have a good pitching staff and a really good offense. It's like, oh, we need to trade Puig to something for some relievers or something. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty sure there's something like that. So my question is, Dodger fans, can someone punch you all in the face? Because, dear God, people.
I think Dodgers fans have the thing where they're like, it's that mindset where they're like, all this money is being spent. Why aren't we winning 160 games a year?
Well, it's just like that.
Or it's just, I mean, it's the same general LA sports mindset. Even when the Lakers are really bad, they're just kind of the assumption that they should be the best.
Yeah. LA is still Laker town, even though the Clippers have, in the last few years, been the better team.
Just, right.
Yeah.
And LA's silly. Don't go there.
Actually, I was actually in LA a couple days ago. And
traitor!
I got some really good food down there. Actually, okay, technically I drove through LA. I actually went to Orange County. Never mind. It doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count. Of course, Orange County is definitely not LA.
Yeah.
Don't tell Art Moreno.
I was getting food in Anaheim.
I would tell him if I ever met him. I would show him a map. I'd say, do you see this? These are two different counties. Counties are a level of government.
And not only that, they're very culturally different, too.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, God, are they?
Well, I mean, it depends on which section, because there are definitely parts of Orange County that mimic L.A., and there are parts of L.A. County that mimic Orange County.
Yeah.
But
on a general sense.
Yeah, on a general sense. I mean, if we want to play the stereotypes.
Which I do!
That's what we do a lot here, isn't it?
What? Yeah,
that is pretty much my jam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something I've noticed, is that, like, you have a really good team. You are, one way or another, probably going to make the playoffs this season. The fact that you're, like, kind of not as good as the Cardinals, and for some reason the Giants have beaten you a lot this year, is no reason to, like, fire everyone. Like, for serious, there was a reporter I saw in my Twitter feed, an LA-based reporter, who asked Andrew Friedman, do you consider this, like, offseason a failure? Which is like, what the actual shit, man? This is like, coming from a fan of a generally mediocre team the past few years, it's like, it hurt my brain so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, yeah, like, do you consider this season a failure? Well, you're not even halfway through, but you're in first place.
If you make the playoffs, you have a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As the Giants and the Royals showed last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And so, yeah, the Dodgers, I don't know how they do there. I mean, maybe good. Maybe.
We're going to get swept. I mean, it's just the way of things.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Rockies, just saw last week, they're just, you know, at this point for the Rockies, I know they beat us 2 out of 3, but last week, but, you know, generally just,
we had the moral victories.
Yes, exactly.
So we're going to go to the moral playoffs at the end of the season.
We will.
Yeah.
The morality playoffs. It's a bunch of challenges based off of Aesop fables.
Yep.
Let's the Rockies, at some point, I wonder if they'll ever get management that does not use the fact that Coors Field is a thing as an excuse for why they have crappy pitching all the time. Because at some point, that stops being an excuse. I think we talked about this, like, on a way early episode, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we did.
I don't know. That would require me going back to the archives or something.
If you find it, you should edit that segment in right here.
Yeah, just, like, I mean, you don't really need to sleep. Just listen through
the
archives. You probably want to listen through all of them in case we discussed it twice.
Yes.
So, 18 episodes.
The second part.
So wait, hold on. 18.
You should make a supercut of all the times we've referenced lizard people.
Actually, no, don't do that yet. Don't do that yet, because you should save that and have that be the final episode of the season.
That would be awesome.
So okay, so we have 18 episodes before. I would say they average like 43 minutes. That's a guess.
It's important to be that precise.
So that's like 12. That's like almost 12 hours of stuff to listen to.
I believe in you.
You can do it, man. Just get some coffee.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna put caffeine pills in a 2-liter Pepsi to shoot that into my veins through an IV.
Actually, what I think you should do is pour the 2-liter Pepsi, crush up the pills, mix it with the 2-liter Pepsi, pour it into a pan and boil it down. So you get, like, a syrup.
God.
And then, I don't know, snort that, maybe?
That
snort
sounds like
a syrup?
Yes!
I'm running out of things to say in this outro. Follow things on Twitter or whatever. Okay. Hey, look, a shiny thing. I'm gonna run now. Yeah, okay. It's increasing in size for me, so it should be good. But,
it's increasing in size, huh?
Oh my god.
Maybe we're sensates with each other, Liz.
Really horrible we are.